Our show this week is all about stem cells and cloning, which are topics that have received a lot of attention over the years, and we're going to try and dig deep and find out just how these methods work and why they've stirred up so much controversy. And to get us started, this week we sent Mira along to UCL's Centre for Stem Cell Research to find out the basics of stem cell technology.
Stem cells. We've all probably read about them in the papers, but what exactly are they, and how are they benefiting scientific research? This week, I went to the lab of developmental biology expert Professor Claudio Stern at University College London to find out how his team create and use stem cells in their research. But I had to start by asking just what a stem cell actually is.
Basically, a stem cell is a cell that can self-renew, which means that it can grow for a very long time and retain its qualities. So it stays the same as it grows through many, many divisions. So they're found in many places in the adult and in the embryo where they divide and produce daughters that differentiate into different tissues of the body. In the adult, for example, there is a need for parts of the body to renew themselves constantly throughout life. For example, in the skin, where we lose layers of the skin all the time. And so we have stem cells that are specialized in maintaining that so that there's a continuous production of cells that will replace the ones that are being lost.
But you work with embryos, don't you, in your lab?
Yes, we do, yeah.
How do you obtain the stem cells that you work with in your lab?
To obtain embryonic stem cells, which are cells that will not only divide for an unlimited period of time in the lab, but also are capable of giving rise to pretty much any cell type in the body, we just use very early embryos. In our case, we use chick embryos. And so by taking these cells out of the embryo and placing them in a culture under appropriate conditions and with the right medium, some cells will then survive to the stage at which they will self-replicate for a very, very long time, and then you can maintain them forever pretty much in the lab.
Is there a different process used in order to get human stem cells made?
Well, in a sense, the principle is the same. So one possibility would be to have a human embryo, a very early embryo, and then to take the cells from that embryo and place them in culture under the similar conditions to what I described.
How could you get stem cells from an adult?
One way would be to try and get a biopsy, for example, from tissue that contains stem cells, and then place that in culture. Another way is to take the nucleus of a differentiated cell, which the cell won't, as I said, won't divide. But if that is placed in an environment that can reprogram it to become embryonic again, like an egg cell, then that nucleus will be reprogrammed and the genetic material of the adult individual will now become like an early embryonic stem cell that can then be allowed to divide in culture. And then that will continue to divide and produce identical copies of itself.
So that's nuclear transfer, that method?
Yes, that's nuclear transfer.
It's actually quite hard for that to result in a growing cell after.
Technically, it's quite difficult to do. The cell is very fragile and it's very small. The nucleus is fragile itself, and it's quite an involved manipulation. It requires very good hands and very good microscope, and only a proportion of the cases will continue to establish a cell that will divide. So one has to do it many times to get a single cell that will establish itself.
So, Claudio, I mean, I've mentioned earlier that you do most of your work with stem cells from chick embryos and just with chick embryos in general. What are you hoping to find out with your research?
Well, chick embryos have the advantage that they're easy to get and they're relatively inexpensive. We just get them out of the egg. And one of the questions we're trying to resolve is really what makes a cell be a stem cell? What are the particular genes or gene combinations that establish a cell's properties in terms of being able to divide and replicate itself for a very long time without differentiating? And at the same time, conversely, what causes cells that are dividing to adopt particular fates? And we're particularly interested in finding out what makes the nervous system and the brain and what are the cues that cells use to become particular parts of the central nervous system. One of the most fundamental questions in biology is to explain how cells that are genetically identical can adopt different fates so that you end up with a body that's made up of the right proportions of the right tissue types that can function together in a coherent way. Being able to understand that hopefully should get us to a position where we can manipulate the fates of those cells to generate in culture cells of particular types that might be useful for therapy or other clinical applications.
So understanding how a cell chooses its fate, could enable us to manipulate them into becoming the exact cell that we want. If that becomes possible, then it could transform treatments for conditions like diabetes, where a patient's pancreas is unable to produce enough insulin to take up the glucose in their blood. Stem cells could be directed to make more insulin-producing cells, which could potentially then be transplanted into a diabetic, enabling them to produce their own insulin and not have to use injections anymore. It's this therapeutic potential of stem cells to provide treatments for numerous conditions that makes the work of research teams like Claudio's so important for medical development.
That was Mira talking to Claudio Stern at the UCL Institute for Stem Cell Research, and we'll be discussing further medical applications of stem cell research in just a moment.
This is The Naked Scientist. Thank you, Helen. And if you would like to ask us any questions about what we're talking about this week, then you can get in touch. It's chris@thenakedscientist.com.